Well, today we are continuing in our walk through the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus' teaching that we're going to be looking at today, if you didn't pick it up from the children's sermon, is about judging others. So you may be wondering why in the world I've gone with a picture of the church lady from Saturday Night Live on the front of your bulletin today. What in the world is he thinking? Is it just because Steve's out of town, or like what is going on? And I would like to say, stop judging me, okay? So if you're not familiar with the character of the church lady from Saturday Night Live from a few decades back, she appeared fairly regularly on Saturday Night Live and was known for her harsh criticism and judgment of most everyone. So, though the content was often crass, I do have to say that, she acted as a bit of a caricature image of the church and what the world outside the church thought about the church. The image that she projected was that the church is overly judgmental, obviously hypocritical in everything that they say. And yes, it was an exaggeration, but I do think there's some legitimate criticism there for the church to listen to. We can easily find ourselves wagging our fingers around at other people without thinking all that much about what we need to address in our own lives. Is judging always wrong? Is there a right way for me to judge? And what does it look like when the church judges well? These are things Jesus actually has quite a bit to say about in our passage today. So let's take a look, and as we do, let us pray. Lord, we again are thankful today for you, the gift of your word, for the ways that you speak to us through your word. And we thank you for Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And though it's difficult, Lord, we thank you for the beautiful picture of life in your kingdom. Speak to us today, we pray, through your Holy Spirit, and help us to apply these words to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're reading from Matthew chapter 7. Jesus has had two chapters already in the Sermon on the Mount, and this kicks off the third chapter. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, once again, Jesus is very clear right at the beginning of this passage. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. I think first and foremost, the sense of that final judgment, what Jesus is saying here is that final judgment, the sense of condemnation, Jesus says that is God's judgment to make. Don't be taking that out of God's hands. That role belongs to God alone. A person's spiritual condition is deep in their heart, in places that we don't get to see. God alone can see that deepness in the heart, and for that reason, then, God is in the position to judge the person, not any of us. And if we put ourselves in that position, Jesus says you should expect to receive that same judgment yourself, kind of like a mirror that you're looking into. And it's only fair, right? God takes the same standards you're judging that other person by and applies them to you. So it's clear that judging a person's spiritual condition, the sense of salvation or not, like that is the realm of God. We are not to take that upon ourselves. But what about judging people in other ways, about other things that maybe aren't their salvation, but smaller, less important stuff? Can we judge people like that? Well, I think it's helpful in the book, and we're in chapter 10 this week in Viodas's book, The Narrow Path, and or The Narrow Way. What our sermon series is one, and the book is the other, and now I've forgotten. But it's the blue book, and there's a couple left if y'all still don't have it at the exits. But Viodas quotes Gregory Boyd, another pastor and author, and he recounts a time when Boyd finds himself judging people. He's looking at a bunch of people, observing them, and realizes that he's judging them. And so I've decided to read the quote this morning because to share how it works in my own life is a little bit embarrassing. So I think I can get the point across without without having to tell you that this same thing actually happens in my brain also, except I just told you. So this is what Boyd says. I notice that some are pretty and some are not. Some are slender, some are obese. On the basis of what they wear, their facial expressions, the way they relate to their spouses, friends, or kids, I conclude that some are godly while others are ungodly. Again, he's just observing people, right? Some give me a warm feeling as I watch their tenderness toward their children. Others make me angry or disgusted. And then suddenly I notice I'm noticing all of this. After a moment's introspection, I realize that my judging of others is making me feel good. It's satisfying some need I have to stand in judgment over people. I enjoy being the one who gets to pronounce the verdict. Pretty, ugly, good figure, fat, ungodly, godly, disgusting, cute, and so on. Well, that's kind of uncomfortable, isn't it? Maybe your silent judgmental escapades look like this. Maybe they look different, but I don't think any of us can say that never happens in my brain, in my observation of other people. It's part of our human nature, I think, for us to fall into this judgmental sort of way of looking at other people. And maybe it's not always this harsh as this, but we do have a tendency to all fall into this. And we like to feel better than other people. So it makes us feel better about ourselves. It's like a little hit of dopamine each time, and it makes us want to do it again and to find another person and to continue doing this. And as I feel better about myself, I want more and more of this. It's like an addiction. It keeps me coming back for more. Now, you're seeing how this is dangerous, right? It's not so much dangerous for those people, because I'm not voicing it. I mean, the church lady does that. I am avoiding that. So that's good. But so it's not dangerous for that person. It's dangerous for me. And that's why Jesus is bringing this up, because of what it does in our hearts. I cannot live and love people like Jesus calls me to. Jesus has called me to love every one of those people. And I can't properly love them if the first thing in my mind is how I'm better than they are. If I've trained my mind to constantly judge others, I can't be obedient to Jesus' commands to love. So thankfully, Jesus gives us a way out. Now, this whole thing is talking about the narrow way, so it's not the easy way. It's not easy, but he does give us a way out. Jesus says, you want to judge other people? Start with yourself. Start with yourself. So before identifying sin in another person, I need to examine myself check myself out first. It really is absurd when you think about it, the whole plank in the eye, that I've got this huge obstacle trying to help somebody else get this tiny thing out of their eye. And Jesus says, it really is like that. If you are having all these sins that remain unaddressed in your own life and you're going over to point out the sins in someone else's life, your sin is literally the thing that blocks your view of what's going on in that person's life. And so Jesus says, examine yourself first. And he doesn't quote Psalm 139 here, but I think he would put his stamp of approval on David's prayer from Psalm 139 for this purpose. David spends the whole psalm talking about how deeply God knows him, how intimately God knows everything about him. He spends 22 verses on this, and then at the end, he says this rather terrifying prayer, if you really think about it. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. If we could pray this prayer regularly and be open to what God might show us that needs addressing in our lives, we would be in a much better position. Okay, one last time, back to the church lady. She's very well known for being hypocritical and judgmental. This is what the church looks like oftentimes from the outside looking in. And it's because we've not followed Jesus' teaching here. We've not examined ourselves before choosing to point out the wrongdoings of others. Viotas, in the book, he shares that there was a survey back in 2015, 10 years ago now, that Barna had a survey showing that 87% of millennials who don't go to church see Christians as judgmental. Millennials that don't go to church, 87% see Christians as judgmental. We can't agree, 87% of us can't agree on anything these days. That is a huge problem. And Jesus says, examine yourself first. And I would say that needs to happen regularly, consistently examine yourself. It's the perfect antidote to hypocrisy. Our words of condemnation for the world around us will always fall flat if this is not happening first. And I believe when we actually do address our somebody else's, it's going to come across a little more gently, right? Because all of a sudden I've realized how much I am relying on God's mercy and grace in my own life. And those words of condemnation all of a sudden are less sharp. All of a sudden are more gentle. As I'm going to remove the speck from my brother's eye. Another way of talking about this very same principle, I think, is to use the word humility. Jesus is asking us to be humble. He says, don't place yourself above other people by default, looking down on them, on their terrible sins, without realizing your own position first. It makes all the difference in how a person will receive us. If I'm coming to them with humility, they're much more likely to listen. Now, this is not to say that we're supposed to just think about ourselves as horrible, and the worse we feel about ourselves, the better we are going to be for Jesus. That's not what I'm saying, but rather not to make a habit of positioning ourselves up here, looking down on other people. Make a habit, rather, of addressing those sins before God. God's goal is not for us to feel terrible about the sin, but for us to turn from it and receive his forgiveness. At the end of chapter 10, Viotas gives some really good advice around how to examine ourselves. He gives a list of four questions we could use at the end of each day to evaluate ourselves, to examine ourselves. This is called The Examine, and it's been around for centuries. It is a great way for us to put some of these words into practice, and I recommend that to you. If you don't have the book, again, there's a couple left at back there and over here, but not over here. So if you need that book, please grab one of those. Those questions of evaluation at the end of each day help us to make sure we're not leaving things undone, leaving things that need to be addressed. So we need to examine ourselves first before we even consider judging other people. But in the final verse, it would be really convenient if that one wasn't actually in the sermon, because it seems to say just the opposite of what Jesus just told us. So Jesus says, don't judge, and then he seems to, in this last verse, he's saying, but you should judge. And so it's a little confusing without a little extra attention here. So he says, don't give the sacred things to dogs or your pearls to pigs. And though we like to say, you know, don't cast your pearls before swine, this verse is really hard to understand. It's quite mysterious what exactly Jesus was getting at, but scholars mostly agree on the fact that he is saying that though we leave the ultimate judgment to God, there are times when we need to withhold sharing the good news with someone after a certain point because they just trample it underfoot and it does no one any good after a certain point. So we have to maintain a certain level of discernment so that we can identify what Jesus is calling the pigs and the dogs in this passage. And these are very derogatory terms, right? This is pointing to people who are openly standing against the gospel of Jesus and God, the ways of God's kingdom. And taken in the context of all of Scripture and God's incredible mercy and grace extended to all of us, this is intended to be very rare. This is not our go-to first step in sharing the gospel, right? This is something that we hold back from and we only use in exceptional circumstances. I think God intends for us to be extremely generous with the good news of Jesus. Extremely generous. And holding back these pearls of God's kingdom only on rare, rare occasion. So it is a balance. We are not called to judge people too much or too little, too quickly or too slowly. But we do need to have some discernment. We need to have a balance. We can't just stop judging people. In fact, God's given us the brains to be able to discern good from bad. And he expects us to do that. But this idea of balance and the ability of seeing good and bad, seeing the differences, this idea of nuance has become very difficult and uncommon in our world today. A couple of years ago, as we were going through the Sermon on the Mount, I got to preach on this same passage. I don't know what it says about me and judging other people, but apparently I'm some kind of an expert on this. but what I realized as I was looking back on what I had said 2 years ago, I really feel like it's the same today. In fact, these words, this part here, and it is the last part, but this part here is very similar to what I said a couple of years ago, and unfortunately in the world around us, it's at least as bad as it was 2 years ago. So, especially in the political realm, but in today's world, we're conditioned every day to identify what side a person is on and then judge them. Okay, so And this is especially if we're, you know, connected to the news or social media, it's very, very prevalent. And we're conditioned by this every day. So if they're on our side, if the person is on our side, they're part of us, okay? And so we're happy with this person. We put them into the box of okay, right here, where we are. They're in our box, and so they're okay. And in this box, most all questionable behavior is excused. We assume the best of the person and their views on different topics, and they are part of us, okay? And now if they're on the other side, and as you know, they have to be in one or the other. There's very little space in between for them to be anywhere in between. You're in one or the other. If they're in the on the other side, they're not us. They are them. And they're in the box of not okay over here. And it's kind of the opposite. We assume the worst of them. Almost nothing they can do, nothing they do can seem acceptable. And their opinions on current issues are easily dismissed. Their box is the not okay people, them. And so we have us and we have them. And again, very little in between in today's world. And this type of pre-sorting of people, I believe Jesus is speaking against. That's not the only thing he's saying, but it's part of what he's saying in this passage. What we're doing is judging people before looking at our own issues that we may have. We're immediately putting people into these different categories before looking at our own problems. And we justify it because if I allow in any way that the other side has anything good about them, if I say something good about them, then my people over here get really nervous. And I might even end up in the other box if I'm not careful, because I've identified something positive from the enemy over here. Now, admittedly, this whole scenario is a little bit extreme and a bit of an exaggeration most days, but I do think this is one of the biggest issues facing our culture. And Jesus calls us to something more. As the church of Jesus, he's asking us, he's commanding us to live life differently. Examine yourself first. Approach others with humility. Assume that you have things to deal with before addressing issues in other people. I think this is a huge lesson. It's not easy for us to put this into practice. But if we do, if we can put into practice these principles Jesus is teaching us today about God's kingdom, then our hearts will grow more and more like Jesus. And it will be a benefit to the world around us in so many ways. So let us ask God for help. Please pray with me. Lord, though Jesus' words are difficult, we still thank you for them. And we pray that you'd help us to put these words into practice in our lives. Help us to take the uncomfortable, many times, step of examining ourselves first. And help us not to neglect discerning good and bad in other people, but help us to do it in a way that matches what Jesus is teaching here. We can only do this with your help, Lord. And so we leave ourselves in your hands today. In Jesus' name, amen.